Chapter 27, Dissipative Structures. June 1965, Millbrook, New York. My jangled nerves were not soothed by 6 months of changes that had converted Millbrook from a community of scholars and scientists into a playground for rowdy omnisexuals. When I tried to talk to Dick Alpert about the future, he was not that interested. He had shrewdly decided to take a long vacation. He had held down the home front while Ralph and Annette and I were traipsing around the world. Now it was his turn. He had accepted an invitation to summer in France at the beach house of some famous jet-set prince. Then he would visit the London Playboy scene to run LSD sessions for the infamous Victor Lowndes. All this made my guru chasing in India seem pretty conventional. For the next few days, I circled the field aimlessly, trying to figure out where to land with the rest of my life. I retreated to a small bedroom in the servants' wing, devoting my life to the Taoist poems and meditating on the thought that everything changes. This too will pass. Lay low, walk slow. I planted a garden behind the meditation house with seeds and cuttings from a nearby Rudolf Steiner farm. Dick Alpert left triumphantly for Europe. One by one, the punksters became discouraged by the monastic atmosphere and drifted away. Soon, there remained only a small cadre of ex-Harvard loyalists. Ralph Metzner, Michael Hollingshead, and his lovely bookish mistress. The lovelorn summer of 1965 crept on painfully. My pals were the two mansion dogs, short-haired setters named Fang and O'Brien. At Ralph Metzner's suggestion, we set out to produce a sound and light show that we hoped could simulate an LSD session. Perhaps, maybe, we could activate the same circuits without drugs. And then there came a visitor who was to change everything. I remember so clearly that summer morning when I walked out to the portico terrace, and there she was, the next 7 years of my life. A cloud of pheromones floating from her body awakened my lazy off-duty hormones. My knees wobbled. Her name was Rosemary Woodruff, age 30. In her hand was a book by Wittgenstein. She had come up for the weekend with some friends. But Rosemary needed help. She had brought a bottle of French wine, but no corkscrew. I led her to the kitchen, popped the cork, and poured her a glass. "You are the kindest man in the world," she said. Her moves were fluid and graceful. She was wearing tight jeans bound by a silver chain. Her boy's shirt was tied above the navel. I poured some wine in my glass and we toasted our meeting. She wore tennis shoes. That was a genetic signal. And she read Wittgenstein. I wondered idly if she was an intelligence agent assigned to my case. If so, the psych tech boy sure had my number. That afternoon, I took her for a walk. I felt painfully shy. "I'd like to come back," she said. "Anytime," I replied. One night after a light show, while I was relaxing in a friend's apartment, Rosemary phoned. Bored with life in New York, she was about to split for California and was wondering if she could spend a few days at Millbrook before she left. Within seconds, I was out the door on my way to meet her. Within minutes, I was carrying her suitcases up to my car. I bought a bottle of champagne, and we headed north on the beautiful, grass-bordered Taconic Parkway. The sky sparkled with stars above us. Rosemary sat in the lotus position on the front seat, stretching her arms over her head, turning now and then to fill my glass. "What do you want to happen at Millbrook?" I asked her. "I want to fall in love with you," she said. The next day, we did yoga in the large front room. We went for a long walk around the estate. That afternoon, we moved our bed to the meditation house and took acid together. There, I courted Rosemary in her 10,000 forms.